really need to pray over is this police officer in Brentwood that was murdered this week. And it was in response to a domestic violence call. Now, normally, police officers don't go to a domestic disturbance alone. But, you know, Brentwood's a small town, and he made the call himself. And he got inside, and the fella shot him to death. Second officer arrives on the scene. He gets inside the door, receives gunfire, and gets out. He got out without getting hit. And then they finally apprehended the guy. But we need to pray. This officer had a wife and two teenage daughters. And now they have no father. And the woman has no husband. Why? Because some punk decided to, full of the devil and a big domestic disturbance, and he shot the guy to death. They say that's the most dangerous call for police, is a domestic disturbance call. You know, because the culprit is so enraged on whatever's going on in their life, and it's just the devil's all over those. So we need to pray for this dear family. All right, praise the Lord. But yes, for our final hymn, let's stand and turn to 301 tonight, folks. Things to pray about. Always something to pray about. 301, Elisha Hoffman penned the words of this great hymn of the faith. And it says, glory to his name. Amen? Glory to his name. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth as we stand. Thank you, Lord.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, downward for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to lift to my heart was the blood of thy glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin.
Amen.
Jesus, the strength that abides within, there at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name.
Everybody now, sing.
Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Then to the heart was the blood of light. Glory to his name on the fourth. Down to this fountain so rich and sweet. Earth's blood was all at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name.
Everybody sing it now.
Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Lift to my heart for the blood of mine. Glory to his name.
God, please be seated, church. They're singing tonight. And let's get right to our Wednesday night message. Grab your Bibles. Anybody need a pew Bible? Oh, great, great. All right. Looks like we're all good to go. We'll sing after our message in the book of Colossians tonight, beloved. Colossians. By the way, we've got 9 of the dozen bumper stickers on vehicles now. We're doing good on that. And we'll go to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 3. As we continue on. Sadly, report this afternoon, my sister sent me on. Eric Holder has announced this afternoon that the White House will not be investigating the deaths of our veterans from the VA hospital in... was that Nevada? Somewhere out west. Supposedly there was a list of don't treat, you know, delay treatment. And they died, you know. So it's just one scandal after another with this White House, folks.
Absolutely.
And it's just another sign of the times. We're in the last days of the last days. One thing after another. Dan knows. One thing after another. But praise the Lord. Jesus is going to straighten it all out. Amen. We know that. All right, folks. Colossians chapter number 3 tonight.
Did they cancel the meeting there?
Oh, I meant, thank you for reminding me, sister. Yeah, what did we pray Sunday night?
Yes.
Concerning the satanic black mass. Satanic black mass, I said, that was to be held at Harvard University Memorial Hall this past Monday night. A satanic black mass. And we prayed and we asked the Lord Jesus Christ to prevent that thing from happening.
Right.
Guess what? The next day, it was canceled. Boom. Canceled. And so what they did is they tried to reschedule it to some pub down in Harvard Square in Cambridge. And the pub said, hey, man, we don't want nothing to do with no satanic black mass. Leave town. Get out of here. And so they refused it. So they called it off. Thank you, Lord. There's a victory for Jesus right there. But hey, folks, this stuff is real. The darkness is permeating the earth. You can cut it with a knife. It's so thick. And we need to be shining the light of Jesus Christ in these last days. All right, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Tonight in Colossians chapter 3, we'll be looking at two more verses in chapter 3. We come to verse number 5. Colossians 3 and verse 5, we read, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Father in heaven, we thank you for these verses tonight of your word. And Father, we thank you that this is light. Lord, the world, the Bible says, is in darkness because they know not the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not the Spirit of God, and therefore they dwell in darkness. But those of us who've been born again, those of us who've been spiritually regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, we have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ within and shining through our lives. We're thankful for that tonight, Lord. It is such a blessing to be part of the family of God, the body of Christ, the bride that you're coming back one day soon for. Lord, we count it a privilege to know thee tonight, and we count it a privilege to come together as the saints of God, the people of God, the family of God, to study the word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us a book to study. Lord, you've given us the words of life. And Lord, you said as lights in the world, let shining forth the word of life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for it tonight. And we ask you to bless it. And we ask you to teach us by your Holy Spirit through your word in Jesus' holy name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated, folks. Glory to God. Now, as we come to verse 5 tonight, notice the word therefore in verse 5. Now, whenever we see the word therefore in the Bible, we need to stop and see what it's there for. Amen. It's there for a reason. Glory to God. Now, clearly, Paul is saying that because of verse 4, we need to do certain things. The will is involved, Christian. We're not robots. Amen. nothing happens automatically, but the will is involved in yielding to the Holy Spirit. The therefore is because of verse 4. Look at it. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. You see the connection here? It's a progression. And the Holy Spirit is instructing us that because we are in the glory of God, we are in Christ, he's coming back for us, therefore there's certain things that we need to do. I am so glad tonight that I learned a long time ago that in my Christian life, my free will is always active. It is never negated, and it must be exercised. Amen? And we must choose to yield to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen automatically. Now, I want to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things tonight from our two verses. The first is this. Observe the need for present mortification. The need for present mortification. I'm going to explain that word. Verse 5 says, what's the next first word?
Mortify.
Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, the word mortify, the Greek word there is nekru. Nekru. It means to make dead or to put to death. It means to slay or to deprive of power, to destroy the strength of something. That's what mortify means. Now, the question is, how can you do that? How can you mortify the members of your body? You don't have the strength to do that. You're human. And we have a corrupt nature in the flesh that we received from our first father, Adam. So there has to be a way. If God commands us to do it, there has to be a way to do it. Go with me to Romans. Hold your place in Colossians. And flip back from Colossians prior to Corinthians. You'll come to Romans. This is why we need the whole Bible. Amen. Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, church at Ephesus, because we need the whole Bible. In Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit shows us how we can mortify the deeds of the body, the members which are upon the earth. He says this, in Romans chapter 8, look with me at verse 13. Verse 12 says, therefore, there's another therefore. And it's therefore because we've been quickened by the Holy Spirit in verse 11. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. I owe a great debt, Paul said, that I'm not able to pay. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, what's the next three words? Through the Spirit. Don't highlight that, underline it. I put it in italics, whatever you do, but mark it down. Through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. He says that in order for us to live a Spirit-filled, abundant Christian life, we need the Holy Spirit to mortify the deeds of our physical bodies. Now, here is the key to Christianity. You, as a child of God, has something the world does not have. The world is in bondage tonight to drugs and alcohol and sexual promiscuity and all kinds of vices because they don't have what you have, the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, man is helpless and hopeless to overcome the flesh. Did you hear what I said? You can turn over all the new leaves you want. You can join all of the self-help groups. So go to the psychiatrist, the secular university. It won't help you one bit. The Holy Spirit of God is the key to overcoming the flesh. And this is what he says here in verse 13. Now, listen carefully. We have been crucified with Christ, and all of our old ways have passed under divine judgment on the cross. Listen now. But to make this truth practical in our daily life, the flesh must be kept by faith in the place of death by the Holy Spirit, and its evil promptings must be refused in self-judgment by yielding to the Holy Spirit instead of to its evil whims. Are you hearing me? In other words, it is, how did you get saved? You get saved by what? It begins with a big F. Faith! You're saved by faith, right? So how are we to live? By works? No! You don't all of a sudden change course and say, oh, I'm going to do good works now. You are saved by faith and you live by faith. Faith in what? The faith in salvation is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But the faith in living a Spirit-filled life is in the work of the Holy Spirit. See, the faith in salvation is in the one who was here 2,000 years ago, who is now ascended to glory. The faith in living the Christian life is the one who is here now to empower you, and that is the Spirit of God who is in you. So many times we live our lives, beloved, as if the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. We forget that He's there. He's real, and He's in us. Amen? And He wants to deliver us each and every day. The volition is always involved, that in yielding to the Spirit's leading. Amen? Secondly, tonight, not only does it have a need for present mortification, but secondly, notice the contrast between our new life and our old. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3. Back to our text in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 3. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Notice the contrast here between our old life, ye are dead. See that? And your new life, it's hid with Christ in God. It can't be tarnished. It can't be erased. And it can't be diminished. The devil knows that. That's why he tries to get you back into your old life. because your new life, which is hid with Christ in God, is safe and secure forever. So he tries to mess you up down here on earth. Thirdly, tonight, observe the dirty laundry list that needs to be mortified. The dirty laundry list. Look at verse number 5. He says, mortify therefore your members, that's your physical body, which are upon the earth. Time out, church. Before we look at this dirty laundry list, notice in verse 5, he gives us two geographical locations. Look at it, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. He just got through saying that part of you is already in heaven. Did you see that? Your new life in Christ is hid with God in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And he says, I love it, how the Holy Spirit goes from heaven to earth. And he goes, oh, by the way, you still have something on earth, that's your members. Your body, you're still physically on earth. But your life is with Jesus in heaven. Oh, this is such good stuff. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. What's that first word? Fornication. The first item on the list that he gives to be mortified is fornication. Now, fornication includes all forms of sexual promiscuity. Okay, not just intercourse. It includes all forms of sexual promiscuity, including homosexuality. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and hold your place again in Colossians. We're coming back. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at this verse. Here's a powerful text concerning fornication and how we're to flee from it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Verse 9. Paul asks a question. I'll wait till you get the address. Location. Verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous, that's the unsaved, shall not inherit the what? Kingdom. The kingdom of God. Look at verse 10, the end of verse 10. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking about the millennial kingdom here. And certain believers will not have their position of authority in the kingdom because of sin during this life. But he says, look what he says. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. We've got a lot of believers today that are deceived by these televangelists. Say, oh, health, wealth, and prosperity. You know, just send me your $100 gift offering and you'll be blessed. Why don't you send me a $100 gift offering? You get blessed, buddy. It's not happening. He's a liar. He's trying to deceive you. And these poor little old ladies, they're sending in their Social Security money to this guy. You know what? He's going to answer to God. Look at verse number 9. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. The first word on his list is fornicators. Nor idolaters. Nor adulterers. Nor effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's homosexuality right there. Nor thieves. Nor covetous. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me make a statement here. People are going to, I know I'll be getting letters. You can be some of these things and still go to heaven. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. But you're not going to have the kingdom. You're not going to have a place, a position, a service in the kingdom. Why? Because if you've got these things in your life, you're not going to be a fit vessel for the kingdom. I didn't say you lose your salvation. Amen. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Washed in what? Somebody. What did we wash in? The blood. Thank you. Ye are sanctified. Sanctified by who? The Holy Spirit. But ye are justified. Justified by who? Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things, Paul says, are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. What is he saying there in verse number 12? He's saying, I can do anything basically, but not everything that I do, that I could do, would be profitable, expedient for me. See that? As a Christian, certain things are not profitable for you, and you need to avoid them. Now, drop down with me here to verse 15. Watch what he says. Know you not, another question, know you not that your members are the members of Christ. Now notice here the word members in verse 15. Didn't we just read that word in Colossians 3 and verse 5? Your members which are upon the earth. Same members. He's talking about the same members. Watch. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Another question. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Somebody read the next two words.
Flee fornication.
Flee. What does the word flee mean? Somebody, I was preaching one time on this text, and a guy came up to me at the service, and he said, hey, Pastor, I didn't know that fleas could commit sin. I said, what do you mean fleas commit sin? You little insects. He says, yeah, flea fornication. Flea fornication. Okay. Flee. Not flea fornication. Flea fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Like, you know, if you hate somebody, if you say something negative, it's without the body. A bad, evil thought. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What's that mean? It means that your physical body, if you commit the sin of fornication, something, somewhere down the road, you're going to pay for it in your physical body. That's what he's saying, folks. I'm not going to preach a watered-down gospel to you. What? Another question. Verse 19. Know ye not that your body, speaking of your physical body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You got to know that, Christian. You don't own yourself anymore. You gave yourself to Jesus Christ when you got saved. For look at verse 20. Here's why you're not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, there's another therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you know why I ask you to stand when we sing our hymns to the Lord and we worship? Because we're presenting our bodies as living sacrifices to Him. We're worshiping Him in body and in spirit. It's not just the inner man, but the outer man. You know, you might lift your, wave your hand and just glory to God. You just, amen. You know, you're worshiping Him in body and in spirit. Glory to God. Fornication is a dangerous sin because it brings judgment upon the physical body. Number two, back in Colossians on our dirty list here. The second thing, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. Uncleanness, what's that mean? The Greek word is akathaja. Akathaja. It means the impurity of lustful, luxurious, immoral living. It's lustful thinking, uncleanness. And living in luxurious, immoral lifestyle. Look, flip back a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to see this. This word occurs a few times in the Bible. This word uncleanness. It's a spiritual filthiness. Now, look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. And look with me at verse number 19. Ephesians 4 and verse 19. Somebody read that.
Lasciviousness. To work all uncleanliness with greediness.
Okay, now notice what Esther just read here. Talking about a lost man who knows not the Lord. Verse 18, he has his understanding. That's your spiritual understanding. Darkened. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know the light of Jesus Christ. He's alienated from the life of God. That's eternal life that he offers. He's alienated from that eternal life. He doesn't have it. And why? Through the ignorance that's unknowing that is in him. Okay? Why? Because of the blindness. Somebody's blinded this guy's heart. You see that? And that is Satan. We learn in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. The devil doesn't want to let go. Who, verse 19, who, these people who are blinded by the devil, who are lost, being past feeling. What does that mean? Being past feeling means you can't feel any remorse or conviction for sin. You can sin with impunity. You can sin and feel good about it. You can sin and brag about it to your buddies. See, that's what that past feeling. They don't feel any remorse for their sin. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over. Uh-oh, this is bad news. Folks, this is the majority of the world we live in. Have given themselves over unto what?
Lasciviousness.
Anybody know what that word means? That's a bad word.
Guilty.
It means guilty, and it also means, listen, lasciviousness means basically anything goes. That's what it means. It means anything goes. Lasciviousness is where a person says, I have no restraint. I can do whatever I want with my body. That's lasciviousness. Look at it. Look, it says, giving themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness. That's that lustful, luxurious living that we looked at. To work all uncleanness with greediness. Notice the last word. They're never satisfied. Gimme, 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 more, more, more. I want more. Greedy wants more. Why? Because he's never satisfied. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy the inner man. Sin, sexual sin can't do it. So he says uncleanness, secondly. Hey, go with me to Ezekiel 23. I want to show you this word one more time. In Ezekiel chapter 23, we have an incredible prophecy of the prophet Ezekiel concerning Israel, the northern kingdom called Israel, and the southern kingdom called Judah. So it's all 12 tribes. And watch what he says in Ezekiel chapter number 23. Don't miss this. Ezekiel 23. You know what they were given over to when God allowed the Assyrians to come and carry them away to Syria? And the Babylonians to carry them away to Babylon for 70 years. He cured them of their idolatry, but it took a long time, 7 decades. Look at this, Ezekiel 23, look at verse number 11. And he's speaking of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and her sister Judah, which he calls Oholibah. Look at this, verse 11. And when her sister Oholibah saw this, that's the idolatry of the north, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the golden calves, all that, Dan and Bethel. She, Judah, where the temple was more corrupt in her inordinate love than she, and in her whoredoms more than her sister in her whoredoms. See that word inordinate? We're going to look at that in a minute in Colossians chapter 3. He's saying Judah did worse than the northern kingdom. When she saw her idolatry, she fell into idolatry as well. Now, notice here. That in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Somebody read us verse 3.
But fornication and all uncleanness of covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints.
Now notice how he hones in a little bit, focusing in closer on the object here in verse 3. Mentions the fornication again. And he says all uncleanness. You see that? All, not just some, but all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as become its saints. He's saying flee from it. Get away from it as fast as you can. It'll bring you down. It'll destroy your testimony. All right. Next on our list, in verse 5 of Colossians 3, inordinate, we just saw that word, inordinate. Inordinate affection. What is inordinate affection? Listen carefully. The Greek word is pathos. Pathos is depraved or vile passions. Depraved of vile passions. Now, this to me, you know, this is, it's like, it keeps getting worse in this verse. And that's how sin is. It keeps getting worse. And that's why Paul, by the Holy Spirit here, is warning us to flee. Because, what you know, a snowball, if you roll it downhill, what does it do? Yeah, bigger and bigger and bigger until it becomes an abominable snowman, right? Listen, it gets bigger. It gets bigger with momentum. That's how sin is. It grows if we allow it to. So he says, any inordinate affection needs to be mortified. Fourthly, something else needs to be mortified. Look at it. Verse 5, he says, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Evil concupiscence. What's that mean? Epithymia is the Greek word there. Epithymia. It means evil desire, craving, longing, desiring that which is forbidden. Lusting. That's what it means. Evil concupiscence is longing after that which is forbidden. Let me ask you a question. Why is it forbidden? Who's it forbidden by? Our what? Our Creator. Our Creator who made us has the right to tell us how to live, doesn't he? The world does not acknowledge that truth that I just said. They don't care what God has to say. They don't care what this book says. I'm going to do, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. I don't care what the Bible says. That's the attitude of this world. Folks, we ought not to be that way. We need to hearken unto the voice of God. Flip ahead from Colossians. I want to show you this evil concupiscence in action. 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 4. Don't miss this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, an incredible passage concerning the child of God and the reason why we must yield to the Holy Spirit. He says it here. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren. I'm begging you, Paul says. Look at it, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. Paul says, it's not my personal opinion. I'm begging you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. He says, you ought to walk to please God, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from what?
Fornication.
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that's your physical body, in sanctification, that's holy living, and honor. Not in the what? Lust of concupiscence. What do we say concupiscence means? It means evil desire, craving, longing, and desiring that which is forbidden. He says, not in the lust of concupiscence. Even as who? The Gentiles, which know not God. He says, look at those people out there, those Gentiles out in the world. The reason they live that way in evil concupiscence is because they don't know God. You don't have that excuse. You and I know him, and therefore we have a responsibility before him to live right. Amen. Look at verse number 7. I love this. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness. There's that word again. Unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. See that? He's called us unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man. Paul says, if you don't like what I'm saying, don't get mad at me. He says, but God. If you don't like this, it's not me that you despise, but God, who also hath given us his Holy Spirit. Paul gives them in verse 8 the reason why they need to hearken unto this word. Because God has given them something very special, the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, beloved, listen to me, you have a responsibility before God to walk in the Holy Spirit. I didn't say if you don't, you're going to lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. You can lose rewards, though. You can lose rewards in the millennium. Hey, man, I want to serve the Lord in the millennium. I don't know about you. I want to have me a big church to preach to, amen, in that millennium. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. But I know that I need to be faithful now before that millennium comes if I want that. I need to be faithful now, and so do you, folks. We need to flee and mortify these things, he says. Look at that in Colossians 3. Mortify these things. Now, observe here, beloved, before we go to our final point, that all four of the deeds of the body that need to be mortified in verse 5, all four of them have to do with sexual sin and immorality. You realize that? All four of them. Do you think it's important for us to know how to live a pure and holy life before God? Why would he say it so many times in so many different ways? I'll tell you why. Because Christians are tempted. We're tempted. I am tempted just like you. I'm no different than you. We're all tempted to sin. But you know what? It's yielding to the Holy Spirit that we need to yield to that Holy Spirit in order to overcome that temptation. Amen? I'm going to show you a verse on that in a minute that you're going to love. Finally, look at this in verse number 5. Something else we need to mortify. And look at the end of verse 5. And covetousness, which is what?
Idolatry.
Covetousness, he says, is idolatry. Now, what's covetousness? You got to understand what it is in order to see this, why it's called idolatry. The Greek word is pleonexia. Pleonexia. It's a greedy desire to have more than you have. It's wanting something that is not yours. That's what covetousness is. You know what Paul said? Paul was not covetous. He said, I have learned, and he learned the hard way, but he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul said, you know what? He said, I don't care what I'm going through or what I'm lacking. I'm going to be content because I have Jesus. Amen. Folks, there is the key to, here is the key to overcoming covetousness. Loving Jesus more. Just loving his presence. Abiding in his love and feeling his fellowship and his spirit just strengthening you. This is the key to overcoming covetousness, which is a greedy desire to have more or to want something that is not yours. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Why should we avoid covetousness? Here's the reason why. Hebrews 13, you're going to love this. Hebrews 13, there is a great reason why a Christian should not be covetous. Hebrews 13, you've got something that they don't have. Look with me at verse number 5. He says, Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation, now the old English word conversation didn't mean like we're talking like a conversation. It meant your lifestyle, how you live. Let your conversation, your lifestyle, be without covetousness. See that? In verse number 5 of Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness. Why, Paul? Why? And be content, there's that word, be content with such things as ye have. Why? For he had said, Jesus, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Paul said there that we don't need to be covetous because he had said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Jesus says, you always have me, so you don't need those other things. I don't know about you, but I like this. We don't need to covet because we have something that is above anything we can covet after. Jesus Christ. Oh, that is so good. We have Jesus Christ. Therefore, we don't need anything the devil dangles before our eyes. Amen? We've got something better than what he offers. Ephesians chapter 5. Flip back from Colossians to Ephesians 5. Somebody read us verse 3. Verse 3.
That's fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints.
Same verse we just read. And he includes three of the laundry list from Colossians 3:5 there in that verse. See that? Same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit is giving Paul's pen words to write in verse 3 here. Covetousness. Let it not be once named amongst you. Do you know what covetousness is? I'm going to go back to Colossians chapter 3. I want you to see this. What is covetousness? Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse 5.
Isn't it like wanting something someone else has?
Yep. That's covetousness.
Yeah.
When you want something someone else has. Look at it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. What is covetousness? According to the Holy Spirit, it's idolatry. It's just like this, folks. Set up your statue, bow down and kiss its feet, and pay homage to it. Worshipping an image. That's what idolatry is. And that's what Paul just said by the Holy Spirit that coveting something is. You're worshiping that object instead of Jesus Christ. That's idolatry. What is covetousness? Go to Ephesians chapter 5 again. And somebody read verse 5 this time. Ephesians 5:5.
For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no, that's a bad word, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
Now look at this, what Mark just read. He says, nor covetous man who is an idolater. Now look at folks, let me ask you a question. Church, can that include a Christian?
Yes.
He's talking to Christians. Look at what he says. A covetous man who is an idolater has no inheritance. Inheritance, where? Not in heaven. You're going to heaven after the 1,000 years. But he says, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's a 1,000-year kingdom on the earth. You're going to lose inheritance during in the kingdom and place of service in the kingdom if you're covetous, Christian. A lot of times we take these verses and we go, oh yeah, the world is so evil, they're so wicked. How about myself?
That's right.
How about looking in the mirror? Yeah, it's for us. Glory to God. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I am so glad that the Lord gives us victory over covetousness. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Don't miss this. Verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, child of God, but such as is common to man. We're all tempted. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. You don't, how many times have you ever heard a Christian say, oh, the devil made me do it? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. You can't use that excuse. Why? God promises to make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. You see it, verse 14? He says, because God guarantees you a way of escape out of that temptation, you're without excuse, and you must flee from idolatry because of the escape route that God has made. You know what we do? We close the door to the escape route and go back to the sin. We wonder why we're miserable. It's not going to work. Yeah, always knocking on the door, that old devil, right? Always trying to attack us. But we have, I like that in verse 13. We have a way of escape that we are able to bear it. We don't. In other words, we don't have to give in. Glory to God for that. Okay, fourthly, observe what these sins deserve and do receive. Verse number 6, Colossians 3, what these sins deserve and do receive. Verse 6, for which things sake? What things sake? Verse 5, the five things listed in verse 5. For which things sake the what? Wrath of God cometh. Listen, folks, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming. The tribulation period is coming. The Antichrist is coming. All of the second advent, it's all going to happen on earth. Why? It says, verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh. Now, these things deserve and will receive the wrath of God. Go with me back to Ephesians 5 again. Ephesians 5. And somebody read verse 6. Here's these deceivers again, telling you you're going to be okay in your sin. Verse 6.
Let no man deceive you with vain words. Mm-hmm. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
Wow! He says, don't be deceived by these false preachers who tell you you can live like the devil and you'll be just fine. Send me your money, your love offering, and I guarantee I'll send you some holy oil, you know, holy prayer cloth, you know, throw it in the fireplace, start the fire. Verse 6 says, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God. Mark it down. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, just past Colossians, chapter 1. Somebody read verse 10.
From heaven, mm-hmm. whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Oh, glory to God. I love this verse because we just learned, church, that we are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus Christ hath, past tense, delivered us from the wrath to come. That's why we're not going through the tribulation period, church. He's delivered us from that wrath. That's when the full wrath of God is poured out on the earth during the tribulation period. You're not going to be here for that according to this verse. I am so glad of that. Look at chapter 2. Somebody read verse 16. Speaking of the Jews.
Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost.
Wow. The wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. And haven't they suffered, the Jews, down through the years? Think about Hitler and all of the oppression and the persecution that the Jews have suffered for 2,000 years. But glory to God, at the end of the tribulation period, those Jews are going to get saved, the Bible says. I'm so glad of that. Chapter 5, somebody read verse 9.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Glory to God, for these things' sake. the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Finally tonight, notice back in Colossians 3, notice who will receive God's wrath. Somebody will receive it. It's not you, because you're saved. But somebody will. Notice who? Verse 6. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I wonder who that is. The children of disobedience. The Bible says that they refuse to obey the gospel. What does the gospel demand of every human being? It begins with an R. Repentance. The gospel demands a response of repentance and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ on the part of every man. Because God let his son die on that cross, the gospel message of the cross demands repentance. You know what Paul said? Three times. Three times in the epistles of Paul, he said, they obey not the gospel of God. They obey not the gospel of God. What's that mean? It means they won't get saved. They stick their fist in the face of God and say, I won't receive your son. I refuse. And look what he says here in verse number 6. The children, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That's those who disobey the gospel. So mark it down, folks. That day is coming. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at this. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. We read, wherein in time past ye, Christian, used to walk, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in who? Same terminology. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. The devil is the spirit of the children. And he's working, it says verse 2, where's he working? In the children of disobedience. They need deliverance from demons. This is serious stuff. Look with me in Genesis chapter 6 in closing. Genesis chapter 6, we'll finish up. You know why the flood came upon the world? Because of children of disobedience. Look at this. Don't miss this. In Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. The sons of God there are fallen angels. I don't have time to show you that in the Hebrew. That they were fair. And they, the fallen angels, took them wives, human wives, of all they which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. See that terminology there? For that he is also flesh? That means he's also something else. Those Nephilim that were born to this offspring of these fallen angels and human women, he says they're part human and they're part something else. They're part angelic. That's why they were so powerful. Look at this. Where'd Goliath come from? Nephilim. Look at, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were what in the earth?
Giants.
Giants. You see that? That's not talking about the dinosaurs, like me and Tim were talking about this week. That's talking about the Nephilim, the offspring. They bred children. Yeah, Tim?
Is that where it says where we could be entertaining angels?
No, those are holy angels that we entertain. Never fallen angels, because we're Christians, we're saved. That's holy angels. But here, these fallen angels mated with human women, and the offspring were, look at verse 4, they were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, notice, after the flood, sometime post-deluge, they came back. Goliath lived after the flood, guys, gals. That was after the flood. So they came back and did it again. Guess what, church? They're coming back again during the tribulation period. Oh, yeah. The Bible says they shall mingle with the seed of men. Listen, verse number 4. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, giants, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They were children of disobedience. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will what?
Destroy.
Destroy. man, whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and Nephilim and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made him. What came upon the earth? What came down from God upon the earth? Because of the wrath of God. Thank you, Esther. The wrath of God came down. She's listening. Because of the children of disobedience, pre-deluge. See that? It's coming again. Because of the children of disobedience of today. Let's go back to our text and finish up now. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 5, we read, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In closing, let me give you this, beloved. The flesh is a potent contender for our heart's affection, and you and I do not have the ability or strength to subdue it, its evil tendencies in our own selves. And this is the reason why we so desperately need the supernatural divine power of God's Holy Spirit to do what we cannot do, to mortify these deeds of the body. Romans 8:13 is the key. If ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now let me say something in closing. When he says at the end of that verse, ye shall live, what he's talking about, Paul is not saying that if you do mortify the deeds of the body, you will have eternal life. You already have eternal life. He's saying that if you, through the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give you. It's the only way that it can be obtained in our walk with God. Jesus promised us a Spirit-filled, abundant life of joy and peace and glory now in this life. And you can have it because you will be living and walking and abiding in the Holy Spirit, and this is true living. It's life everlasting. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these two verses. Lord, the warning is stern. Lord, we're thankful tonight that your word instructs us, Holy Spirit, to mortify through the Spirit these deeds of the body. And I thank you tonight, Lord, that it's not that complicated. You've made it pretty simple. You've given us your Holy Spirit to overcome. And thank you, Lord, that you said faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Faith in what your Holy Spirit can do and not what we can do. Thank you for that tonight, Lord. And I pray you'd bless this message, Lord. I pray that not only these in church tonight, but many who will hear it around the world on tape will take heed and be blessed by it and be closer to thee. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name we ask it with thanksgiving. And the people said, amen. Amen. Let's grab our hymnals, beloved, tonight, and we'll finish with a song. Open up to 174. 174, we'll stand for our final hymn tonight, and we'll sing the first, second, and fourth of 174. Glory to God. First, second, and fourth. Love this. Love this hymn of the faith. Get the choir. Glory to God, church.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Second,
it tells me, oh, the Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me, oh, his precious blood, the sinner's perfect free. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
On the fifth.
It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below.
Thank you, Lord.
And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Woo, glory to God. Great service tonight, folks. Glory to God. For going to ask Brother Mike if you could dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, Sunday, we look forward to a great day in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you.
Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. So we can turn to you for all our needs. We pray now that you'd bless us as we go forth. Protect us, Lord. Watch over us and just guide our paths.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.